tuning in online, you know that we've just finished a message series on the topic of missions. Now, last week, I invited Minister Osolia, my good friend, who came from one of our sister churches in Saratoga, to give us a fantastic message to challenge our preconceived notions on what it means to do missions. You see, missions not really just about conversion, but it's about listening and engaging with people. Listening to people, understanding their story, and speaking truth into that. And sometimes when God leads us, it's not often what we think, but it's often what the Holy Spirit will take us on a journey. And so we have to be open to the work of the Spirit in leading us into unknown territory. And that was a great sermon that she preached last week. And I hope those who were here and are able to make it out last Sunday, praise God for many of you who were able to make it out. I know it was a big storm and a lot of rain, but a lot of you were able to make it out here in person. I hope you were blessed by that message. Today, we pause our topic on the series of renewal, and we're going to reflect together as a community and think through the gospel. What is the gospel? And we're going to try to answer some big questions this morning. You see, I believe there's no greater joy in this life than finding one's purpose and meaning. There's no greater joy in life than finding one's purpose and meaning. And so that's my prayer and hope today, that many of you who are joining for the first time and tuning in, that you're able to have that question answered. And that question and that answer is Jesus Christ, who came on this earth to give you a new life. And so I have a message that has been on my heart and I want to share with you this morning, and that's titled, "You're Invited to the Party." You're invited to the party. Well, let me go to God in prayer and ask for help. God, our Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray for all those who are tuning in for the first time, Lord, that you bless them, that you open up their hearts to come and understand who you are and what the gospel is about. Lord, I pray that you eliminate any distractions that we have, any things that we're going through in our own lives, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Lord, we just cast all our anxieties and doubts upon you and come and minister to us in this hour by your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you and praise this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all love attending parties, whether it's a small gathering of friends, celebrating a life event, or going to a special friend's or family's wedding. It's fair to say that most of us, we love attending parties. Fair to say that most of us don't want to be left out of parties. We don't want to be the one without the invitation. Now, we have seen in popular culture over the last few years acronyms that have popped up like FOMO, fear of missing out, TFTI, thanks for the invite, depicting this saltiness and this jealousy and bitterness that we have when we don't get invited, especially in the last decade because of how social media has taught us how to live, and we've been taught by culture to show the good stuff in our lives. So as we explore social media handles, we start to see people portray their life as one of party, friends hangouts, getting together, get-togethers. And because of that, we look at our friends and how they're partying, and some of us who don't get invited, we have this FOMO, right? We have this TFTI. It's this internal feeling that we feel because we're at home eating chips. We're not at the party. TFTI, FOMO, in our generation depicts how we feel internally when we're not invited to the party or to be part of that inner group. I remember for myself, I grew up in the church all my life. When I was in middle school, I especially loved hanging out with the high schoolers, the seniors, and the college students. Now, they were like the cool kids at church. Now, as much as I like playing with kids my own age, playing Pokemon, playing on the scooter, I especially loved playing with these older guys and girls because, you know, they were cool. They had cool hair back then. They could dye their hair. They could have piercings. Some of them, in senior level, they drove cars. They would listen to cool music like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. None of the stuff that I was listening to as a middle schooler. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. See, I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be them, dress like them, act like them. And I especially wanted to be invited to their parties. But you know how it goes. When you're in seventh grade, when you're annoying, you smell a bit, you troll, you don't really come across anyone's mind to be on the first of the invitation list. They're not going to invite you. They're not going to invite this annoying seventh grader. You'll be lucky if they even think about inviting you. So I never got invited to these older brothers and sisters' parties at church. And it sucked. It sucked because on Friday night at youth group, I would always hear them talk about these parties that happened. What went down, the latest goss, who attended, what kind of music was being played. And I'll be sitting there feeling sorry for myself. But also at the same time, you know, you wanted to be cool and you didn't really want to be bothered. So I would walk past and think I didn't really care. But deep down, I was dying. Deep down, I was feeling sorry for myself because in reality, I was at home doing Chinese homework and playing the viola. So this went on for quite some time throughout my youth years growing up at church. And it was hard to deal with. TFTI. But as I grew older and more mature, I started to realize at school, in college, in workplace, in the church, there will be some parties that we'll get invited to. And there'll be some parties that you'll miss out on. It may suck, especially if you thought they were your close friends. And then you're checking Facebook and Instagram, and then you see like they're all at a wedding, but you're not. They may be all at a party after work, but you're not. A month ago, I kid you not, I was packing up after church, and one of our lovely seniors and worship leaders, Anne, was talking about her birthday party and who she would invite. And she was talking about this, and she's like, oh, you know, I'll probably just make a really low-key party, just invite close friends. And when I heard this, I was like, hey, Anne, I'll get an invite, right? And she was like, no. And it wasn't like, maybe. It wasn't even polite, like, oh, I'll think about it when the time comes. It was literally like, no. It was like the Mean Girls, you know, when you see those dramas on Netflix, it was like, no. And I was so upset. And I was telling Ruth, and I thought, man, I thought Anne liked me. I thought she was my friend. Is it because I'm too old? I'm not cool enough? What's wrong? Ruth was comforting me like a mother. And she messaged Anne a couple of days later, right, after church. And I told her, I said, you got to message Anne and ask her why. And Anne was like, Ruth was messaging Anne. It's like, can you invite Ben to your birthday? And it dawned on me. Could it be that I'm an 18-year-old high school girl stuck in a 33-year-old man's body? Anyways, some of us have had a good experience of being invited to a party. And some of us have a bad experience of not being invited to a party. But there's this one party that I want to share with you that we're all invited to. And you definitely want an invitation to this party. And the host of this party is God Himself. God, the creator of heaven and earth, is throwing a party and every one of us is invited. This is a story found in the Bible and I want to share with you. And it's found in the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me there or look at the screen for your convenience. Luke 14, verse 15 to 24. There's this story about a great feast. And this is the Word of God, and it says this. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with the story, "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, 'Come, banquet is ready.' But they all began making excuses. One said, 'I just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen, and I want to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, 'Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' After the servant had done this, he reported, 'There is still room for more.' So his master said, 'Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet.'" Now, here is the story that I just read. The backdrop is Jesus is dining at the home of a Pharisee, which back in those days were like the religious elite, the teachers of the law. And he's showing them miracles. He's teaching them lessons about humility, exalting him and humbling oneself and inviting the outcast to come to this wedding banquet. And hearing this, one man in the room speaks up and randomly says, well, what a blessing it will be to be invited to that banquet, into the kingdom of God. A guy, he threw out this statement. Now, we don't know exactly why he did this or why he said this. Maybe he was trying to change a topic or divert the attention of Jesus to something else. But from his statement, we can somewhat sense this man was presumptuous, sort of claiming his right in the kingdom of God, maybe because he's a Jew from the lineage of Abraham. And so Jesus, never passing this opportunity by, teaches an important lesson on God and his kingdom. He seizes this great opportunity to tell all those who are present a story that would turn the lives of those who are listening to him upside down and challenge you and I today on any preconceived notions that we have in regards to God and his kingdom and who gets accepted to this party. So a great banquet was given. Now, for those of you who have attended a wedding celebration, a banquet of some sort, you know that it's lavish. People tend to go all out. There's food and drinks all night. For those of you who haven't experienced a lavish wedding banquet, you know, maybe from a young age when your parents throw you a birthday party, your mom and dad, they get all the preparations ready. They send out the invites. They order a crazy amount of food. And you're left eating leftover pizza for a week. Imagine that scene. There's this lavish feast going on. A great feast was prepared and the invitations went out. But those who were invited, they refused to come. I remember when I was in sixth grade, one of my best friends at the time, he threw a massive party. He came from Vietnam. And for those of you who have had any experience with Vietnamese people, you know when they throw a party, it's a party. We're not talking about pizza, ice cream. We're talking about all-out party. Everything you see on a Vietnamese menu, their parents go all out. It was an all-out party. And so I couldn't attend because I had something on at church. But the next day I saw him at school. And I said, hey, how was your party yesterday? And he had this angry face. And he refused to talk to anyone at school. Later I found out no one accepted the invitation. His parents threw a big party, but no one attended. Here we see those originally invited, they refused to come. They started giving excuse after excuse after excuse. I bought a field. I bought 5 pair of oxen. I have a wife. I can't come. These were all the type of excuses that people were coming up with to not come to the party. What was the result? The master was furious and told his servants, go and invite the outcasts of society and bring them in as guests to this banquet that I have prepared. If that wasn't crazy enough, the even more distant outcasts in the country lanes, behind the hedges, were all brought in so that the house may be full. And the master says, for none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. Those originally invited will have no part in this great feast. Now you might think, well, Ben, this story is all well and good, very interesting story. What has this got to do with me? What does this teach me about God? What is Jesus trying to say in this story? How can I understand God's kingdom through this story? Well, 2 points I want to mention this morning is God's invitation is for anyone who accepts. God's invitation is for anyone who accepts. We're told in this story, the master throws this lavish feast and invites people to come and enjoy this banquet with him. The invitation goes out to so many people within and outside the city. God is telling us he has planned salvation for all of humanity, from every nation, from every tribe, from every people group, from every race, from every social economic status, whether one is religious or not. God's invitation is a broad invitation. Why? Because as the first created man, Adam, brought sin and spread death into the world because of his rebellion against God, so will one man, Jesus Christ, one and only Son, bring about forgiveness and eternal life to all who believe. And this work that Jesus came to accomplish on the cross 2,000 years ago is not limited to an exclusive club of those who are more religiously inclined or who have their act together in society. The work of Christ on the cross is for anyone who is willing to accept. Doesn't matter what you have done, doesn't matter what things you have done or how much you have stuffed up in life or what sins you're currently living in, to every person in the planet and to every person in this room, the Lord says, come, for everything is now ready. Come and partake of this feast. God has planned a party and you and I were all invited. The servant in the story was not selling tickets for admission. He was not selling backstage passes. All we have to do is come by ourselves with an appetite. It's totally free because the host, God, has picked up the tab. He's paid for the bill. What a great feeling. What a great feeling. Especially when you know you ain't paying for it. We all tend to go out, all out, when they find someone else is paying for a meal. This is one of the most beautiful things about the gospel of Christ. We didn't do anything to deserve it. No amount of self-effort can get us right with God. It's a free gift, and all we have to do is come with an appetite. God offers his salvation. He pays for it through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And you can just come just as you are. Come just as you are. I remember many years ago, I was talking to a young man before, and he was telling me that he liked a girl. Now, I'm not the best person to give advice on this because I'm quite immature when it comes to this. I laugh a lot. And I don't know why people come up to me and ask me about dating advice, but he says, Ben, I really like this girl, but I'm too afraid to ask her out. I said, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? Just go for it. Be a man. All right? Are you scared? And told me, no, it's not that. It's not that. I am a man. I need to clean out too many areas in my life before I ask her out on a date. As I thought about this, I thought a lot of people is like that. A lot of people are like that when it comes to being in a relationship with Jesus. I better clean myself up before I come to Jesus. But Jesus is saying, come. Come just as you are. Come just as you are. The banquet is ready. The banquet is ready. Second, respond to this invitation quickly and not with excuse. Respond to this invitation quickly and not with excuses. In this story, we read of three excuses. First excuse, I've bought a field. I don't have time, I'm too busy. In our modern terms, it's like, I've got a new investment, I bought a new stock, small business with my friend, I've bought a house down at Menlo Park, whatever it is. You see, all this is a lie. It's an excuse. If you've bought a field, you would first go and inspect it. If you bought a house, you would first look at Google Maps and Zillow and check it out. You'll drive there, the trees, and look at the plants, the neighborhood. You would do all your research before purchasing the property. What this person's excuse teaches us is that this man is tied up with possessions and investments in life and has no time for God. What good is it if a person gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? I myself have many close friends and family who are too busy pursuing the things of this world, all the riches that this world can offer them. But you know what? All throughout my life, I've noticed they are all left empty and depressed, trying to be something that they're not, trying to impress people that they don't even like, feeling unsatisfied, pursuing pleasure after pleasure after pleasure. Many of them come to the end and say, it is all meaningless. Second excuse, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. It's like saying in our context, hey, I've just bought this used car over the phone. And now I'm going to go to the used car lot to find out what car, kind of car it is, how old it is, whether it will start or not. That's an excuse. I remember when I first arrived in the States, there was a car for me to buy. I turned up to the place with 3 people to inspect this car. You would do your research before you make this purchase. Another excuse that we find here. And it's an insult to the master who has come out with this gracious invitation. Like the first man, this man was caught up with his possessions and his work. He can't even take time off to have dinner with Jesus. He's living for the things of this world and he's neglecting his soul. Third excuse, this last excuse is just as bad, maybe even the worst. I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot attend. For goodness sakes, bring your wife to the wedding. You see, being newly married wouldn't preclude anyone from attending a party. You can invite your wife to this wedding. Some say this guy is portrayed as one of making an idol of his wife or putting her needs above his own needs for God. Jesus says some striking words in chapter 14, verse 26. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Discipleship, following Jesus, means giving one's first loyalty. There is no place in Jesus' teaching for literal hatred, right? Jesus is not telling us to literally hate our parents because Jesus tells us to love our enemies. But it could be saying that we need to love less because our devotion to Jesus must be first and foremost wholehearted devotion. Now, what are all three excuses share in common? All three excuses have one thing in common. They're all ridiculous. They're all ridiculous excuses. Now, being a pastor, I've heard many crazy excuses in my time of ministry. Some of it, I have to admit, is so creative. Creative excuses are the funniest ones. I bumped into a guy from another service a month ago at a restaurant, and he saw me. And he knows I'm a pastor. So the first thing he says, oh. Because, you know, a lot of people come with excuses now because of COVID and they don't come to church. So when he sees me, he's like, oh, is church open? The point of all these stories is to strike the hearer as ridiculous, pointing out the silliness for rejecting God's open invitation. That's the point that Jesus is making. When God throws a party, what kind of lame excuse are we going to continue to come up with? We're going to accept the invitation and then insult God by prioritizing stuff or people is ludicrous. It would be like me offering you right now the World Series tickets. Or, even better, front row seats to the Peninsula Youth Orchestra, the PYO, and saying, yeah, I could go. But then that day, when the day comes, oh, Ben, I got to wash my hair. I got to wash my car. I'm really busy, Ben. I need to rewatch HOC1 YouTube Live. I don't think any of you in your right mind will turn away opportunities to go to the World Series or go attend the PYO. No one in their right mind will turn away these great opportunities. Jesus tells us in this story, at the table full of religious people, the point is clear. Jesus is telling the religious that they are missing out on God's big party, and they're choosing to miss out. You see, God is throwing a big party, and everyone is invited. But the people who respond are the people that we don't expect. A lot of those who were invited in the first place aren't going to be there. Not because they weren't invited, but because they decided to exclude themselves from the party. And according to Jesus, some of the people that we think will be there won't be. Now, as I invite the worship team up, and I just want to finish off by saying, what excuses do we have when it comes to accepting the gospel invitation? I really like what Maddie said before. It's a simple invitation. A simple invitation requires a simple response. For those who are watching online and tuning in for the first time, Jesus Christ has paid for your sin on that cross. And it's as simple as you saying, yes, Lord, I've just come just as I am. And I accept this simple invitation. You see, becoming a Christian is not gloomy, it's not endurable, it's not depressing. It's like coming to a banquet where everything is prepared for you. It's like later joining in this feast that Janet has prepared. All we have to do is come with an appetite. That's what it's like becoming a Christian. We've made it into something so complex. Oh, especially when I grew up at church, I thought, becoming a Christian is so tough. I have to go to Sunday school. I have to do all the sacraments. I have to memorize all these verses. I have to be like this. I have to give my pocket money. But as I grew older, I started to realize, hey, that becoming a Christian is actually quite easy. It's as easy as accepting the invitation. But at the same time, there's one thing that we all have to remember. Yes, it is a free gift. It is easy to accept the invitation, but at some point in history, every seat will be full at this banquet and the doors will be shut. Those who procrastinate, those who are busy with finding excuses or earthly matters to partake of, may miss this opportunity. The dining room will be full. And if those who were first invited do not want to accept, then the master of this party will invite others to come to feast at his great banquet. And from this story, you and I, we are not to assume that just because we have these invitations to follow Jesus and to heaven, thereby we are saved. We must respond. We must respond and attend this banquet. God is inviting each and every one of us, no matter what background we're from, no matter what we have done, to partake and share in this joy. And so the question is, dear friends, are you ready to accept? Are you ready to come and feast in this great banquet of the Lord? It doesn't matter how long you've come to church. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor's son or your dad is some sort of leader in the church. It doesn't matter whether you're even leading worship or being a pastor or whatever it is. You must respond. You must respond to this gospel invitation. And for those who respond, one day they will partake of the great supper where Jesus will come and receive us. And there will be this great feast before our very eyes. And they will be able to partake in this eternal joy and satisfaction. And all you have to do is to say, yes, Lord, I accept. Let me pray for you now. If that's you tuning in, I want you to repeat after me in your own heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I turn away from my sins. And I turn to you. If that's you, I want you to say that prayer. Maybe for you who have been coming to church for a long time, maybe you thought that you've been a Christian, but hey, maybe you haven't responded. Today's an opportunity for you to respond, to get your heart right with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Respond quickly. And respond without excuses. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we pray that you come and do that mighty work, especially for those who are tuning in online for the first time. Lord, that as they hear the gospel invitation go out, that they will receive and they will come to know who you are. Lord, your gospel invitation, free one. It's an easy one to accept. And so, Lord, help them to make that important decision that will change the course of their life. Help make that decision that will impact every sphere of their life. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who came to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for Jesus who has promised us hope and eternal life with you. Lord, this is the free gift of salvation. Lord, we praise you. We give you all the glory, and from this day forth, Lord, help us to live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.